Welcome, lovelies, to today's podcast. And it's my joy to introduce you to my friend, Robin. I'm delighted that you're online with me today and that we're having a really important conversation about the wonder of healing. Mm-hmm. And we're going to dive into story. We're going to dive into scripture. Before we do any of that, I'd love for you to introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. I'm so glad to be here with you as well. And it's so good for all the people joining us. My name is Robin. I have the privilege of being a pastor, being a wife, being a mom. I have two wonderful kids. My husband is also a gift. He also serves in ministry. But really, my greatest privilege is getting to be God's daughter, just being called in his kingdom. And so grateful that I get to serve him. I get to support other people to get to grow in their relationship with him.
I love this so much. See, you always give us such great perspective. I'm in school with you right now. Oh, we're both doing either graduate studies. And the first time, I think it's the first time that I met you, we were at our friend Lori Hartshorn's book launch. You were hosting that. And I remember leaning over to our friend Melinda, the host of See, Hear, Love. And I just said, wow, who is that woman? And she was like, I know. And we were just gushing over your communication skills. And I'm like, oh, I want to know who she is. I want to know her story. I want to know her. And then
likewise, I had also been admiring you from a distance, and I had seen you speak, and I had seen things online. And so the feelings are mutual.
Oh, love. You're just
you. Yeah.
You're a kind of person for me that spurs on my faith. If you spur me on to the in this journey, and even though we haven't spent tons and tons of time together, the encounters that we have had, I just love you, and I love how you do that with others. You keep us thinking about what the main thing should be. It's all about Jesus. You're God's daughter, and so are we. And I'd love for you to share part of your faith journey. I know there's layers and layers of us. And the more that we peel, the more we get to know one another. Give us kind of that bird's eye view of your faith journey and how you encountered Jesus in such a personal way, because your faith runs so deep.
Yeah, my faith journey is one of those, I don't want to say wild ones, because I feel like everybody's faith journey is wild because it's, you know, God coming and meeting with us. But I did not grow up in a Christian home. So my immediate family was not Christian. I do have like Christian heritage in my family. But I grew up and there was just a lot happening. I'd say there's like a lot of change and turmoil. And as a teenager, I struggled with addictions and I did a lot of searching. You know, I took all these world religions classes, philosophy classes, read all these things, tried all these things. I was definitely searching. I did have like ultimatum prayers where I'm like, God, like, if you're there, like if you can hear me, you know, I had all of those type of wild encounters. But, I really didn't encounter the Holy Spirit in a very personal way until I went to Ghana. So I went to West Africa, Ghana, when I was in university. And that was the first time that I felt something. Like, I was like, what is happening in my body? Like, I just had goosebumps all over. And I was just, we were at a prayer meeting. And it was a really palpable moment where I was like, oh my gosh, there's something. Like, something is real. It wasn't just reading about Buddhism or reading about yoga. Or it was like, oh my gosh, I could actually feel something inside. And so, yeah, I started really going deeper into exploring Christianity as a faith amidst all the other religions I had already studied extensively. And yeah, it's funny. I got baptized in Florida. My friend and I, we were in university and we were just like, hey, let's go on a road trip. So we went on a road trip. We went to Florida, went to a church there. I gave my life to Jesus at that church. So this church did an altar call December 31st. It was like
what that means is not a lot of people know what that means, but that's a good old 90s. I don't know what year it was in, but
yes,
came to know Jesus. That's similar.
Yeah. Oh, amazing.
On to the front.
Yes.
prayer.
Because, you know, the funny thing was all of a sudden I found myself at the front. So like, yeah. I guess they had been saying like, hey, if you want to receive Jesus, come. Literally, it was like my body was moving to the front. And all of a sudden I'm at the front of this big church in Florida. And then this lovely woman, Deborah, is like praying with me and she takes me through the scriptures. So I officially gave my life to Jesus. That was December 31st, 2008. And then the following May, we went back to that same church in Florida and we both got baptized. So I was with my friend. She had been baptized as a Catholic as an infant. And then her and I both kind of had this wild faith journey. And then we went back and got baptized in Florida. And that kind of started everything. I went really hard, really fast. So I just went, you know, suddenly I'm at prayer meetings, I'm at Bible study, and I'm at all night prayer meetings. And I wanted to absorb everything. I wanted to read every devotional, listen to every sermon. I just was like, this God is real and I want to know him. So yeah, my 20s were just like me going deep, 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 deep. Like, I feel like I had to make up so much time because I didn't have that Christian heritage. You know, people who were like, you know, they went to VBS every summer. They went, I'm like, I didn't have that. Like, I remember early in my faith, I bought a children's Bible and I was like learning children's Bible stories, like David and Goliath. Like, what are these things? I've heard of them in the culture, but I'm like, what is the story? Because I felt like I was just behind. But more than that, I just wanted to know Jesus and I just wanted to like devour his word. And so that's the short story of my faith journey.
Hi, I'm Addison Espilla, one of the content producers here at See, Hear, Love. I just wanted to take a moment to invite you to join our community called the See, Hear, Lovelies. Here's how. Sign up to our weekly newsletter. Every week, you'll get a personal note from Melinda with links to our shows, blogs, and resources, as well as inspirational content and a short devotional. You'll also be the first to know about upcoming events and giveaways. QR code is in the show description or sign up through our website at seehearlove.com. And look for the newsletter icon. Become a monthly partner. $25 or $50 a month will help us share our brave themes and conversations on television, here on podcast, YouTube, video streaming, and on our social media platforms. We can't do See Hear Love without donations and sponsorships, so please go to www.seehearlove.com/donate and give your one-time or monthly donation today. Become a See Hear Lovely and join our See Hear Love community of belonging, vulnerable and brave conversations. We are here for you.
And so life goes on. You end up, you know, graduating. Eventually you get married, have your kiddos. Somewhere along this line, I love this because you were healed spiritually first.
Yeah.
We're talking about the wonder of healing in this podcast today, this episode. And it's not only about the physical, although we are going to talk about your physical, our bodies, but there is this emotional healing that happens. There's a spiritual healing that happens. And that's what you encountered first. And then tell us about this. I know that there's part of your story that there's a very serious illness that happened in your life. And so give us some context regarding that portion of your life. Because you look at you today and I'm like, what is that? What kind of wow, it feels almost like a nightmare or something. But there is.
It was like a nightmare. There was a period where it was like a nightmare. I was sick. And this was recent. So some people think like this happened 10 years ago or something. This was just a few years ago. So 2021, I was just sick a lot, headaches, migraines, to the point of like vomiting, couldn't function, like really, really severe migraines. I was pregnant with my son. And at first when I was getting headaches, they thought, oh, it's hormonal. It's just because of the pregnancy. After I had my son, they're like, oh, it could be postpartum. And I'm like, you know, am I just depressed? Is it just postpartum depression? Is it because I'm breastfeeding or I'm not sleeping enough? Is it just because I can't handle having two kids? Like, I'm just not cut out for this. Like, other people are out there with three kids, four kids, and maybe just the second kid threw me over my capacity. I had a lot of questions, and every doctor, every nurse I went to, it was just, oh, yeah, like, you're getting headaches. There's nothing we can do about that. And then it all kind of came to a head 2022 in March. And I was walking down the stairs. Thankfully, my husband was there with me. So he had gotten used to me waking up and having really bad headaches. And so that morning I was holding our son, 11-month-old baby, and I was about to go down the stairs. And I was like, it's really bad today. Like my head is really hurting today. And thankfully, I guess I sat down on the stairs. My husband took the baby from me, took our son from my hands, and then I had a seizure. And so I'm sitting there, I have a seizure. When I kind of like wake up from the seizure, I think like I just passed out. And I had been sick for so long that I literally was like, oh, it's fine. Like, I just thought I passed out and I came back. And I was supposed to go back to work that day. That was the end of my mat leave. That was supposed to be my first day back to work. And I'm telling my husband, oh yeah, I'm still going to go to work. Like, I have all these meetings. And he's like, are you, like, you know, he just saw me have a seizure, right?
But I'm thinking like, oh yeah,
I just passed out, but like now I feel fine. So he calls 911, 911 comes. And again, I'm just like, guys, I'm fine. So they come, they check my blood pressure. Like everything's fine at this point. And my husband is like, no, like you don't know what I just saw. Like something is wrong with her. We have seen so many doctors. Nobody is figuring out what is the problem. Like you guys need to do something. So thankfully he pushes the ambulance paramedics to actually take me to the hospital. So they take me to the hospital, and long story short, they said, let's do a CT scan. I don't think we're going to find anything because CT scans, they find things that are big, bad, and ugly, but let's just check. And I'm like, dude, do any test you want. I have been sick and nobody can tell me what's wrong with me. And like, something's off. Like I am not who I am supposed to be. They do a CT scan. And they come back in the room, the doctor, and he looks like he has seen a ghost. And he basically gives me a death sentence. He puts his hand on my leg. He's like, Robin, I'm so sorry. You have a massive brain tumor. Massive brain tumor. I feel like the word massive, I just got thrown that word over and over. And, you know, it's probably brain cancer, and it's probably spread to other parts of your body. And all kinds of things. And then they send me downtown to St. Michael's. Oof. And there as well, they do another scan and they say, yes, you have a massive brain tumor. It's the size of a grapefruit.
Oh my goodness.
So, you know, a lot of people don't eat grapefruits, but grapefruits are bigger than oranges. So this was a massive tumor in my head. Every single person kept talking about how massive it was. And they just could not believe how big it had gotten in my head and how I was still functioning. And then they say, yeah, you're going to have a brain surgery tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
At 6 a.m. And it's going to, you know, 6-7 hours of surgery. And then they kind of tell you all these things that might happen. Because obviously opening up one's brain is not something you do lightly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I might not walk again. I might not talk again. My personality could be completely changed. The other thing they said was they don't know if it's cancer or not. Because it's so large, they didn't know if they could get the whole tumor out. So they said, you know, we'll try to get the tumor, but obviously they don't want to be like scraping on parts of your brain. So we might have to have other surgeries in the future to get the rest of it. And they list off all of this stuff. And amazingly, God just blessed me with so much peace, which truly is the peace that passes understanding, because it makes no sense. If someone tells you you're going to have brain surgery tomorrow, it doesn't make any sense. But I just was gifted from God so much peace. My husband and I prayed a lot, and we just knew that God was in this. And I think an important point when we talk about healing in the church, some people can talk about healing, you know, and it's like it can have nothing to do with the medical system. And for me, I have like a balanced view of healing where I'm like, sometimes God heals through the medical system. Sometimes he heals outside of the medical system. And I think both are possible. And it's more about discerning what God's will is. And as we prayed, we did feel like I needed to have surgery. I remember somebody prayed with me and they're like, you know what, Robin, like God can just heal you. And like, you don't even have to have the surgery and it'll just disappear. And as we prayed, we just felt like that's not my story. I think God could do that. I think there are situations where God does do that. But in this case, we felt I did need to have the brain surgery, but we were praying that God was going to be working through the neurosurgeons, the doctors, the healthcare professionals, the ICU doctors. And we were praying for Jesus to be close. And we were praying that it would not be brain cancer. We were praying that they would get the whole tumor out. We were praying that there would be no lasting side effects, even though they told me all these different side effects, you know, and I joined this brain tumor support group and everybody there is talking about all the longstanding issues they have. And we were just praying like, Lord, please let it not be cancer. Lord, please let them get the whole tumor. Please let the surgery go as smooth as possible. And we had people praying all around the world. And like we have family and friends in Ghana, across Africa. We have family and friends across Canada. And the number of people, I had people praying for me I didn't even know. Like people were passing it on. It just, God really used it as a movement to show me the blessing of community. Because I think when we talk about healing too, it's like, yeah, God healed me of so many things. But I think one beautiful thing was just the power of prayer, the power of community. I had people all around the world praying and it was wild because somebody would have a vision in Ghana and it would be the exact same vision somebody here in Ontario was having. And I'm like, these two people don't know each other. They've never met. They're not in contact. There wasn't like a group or anything. And I'm like, literally God is showing them the same thing just to confirm to us that, yeah, I am with you. I am going to be there. And amazingly, you know, we went ahead, I had the surgery. And when I woke up from the surgery, you know, they're asking me all these questions like, where are you? What year is it? Who's the prime minister? And I'm like, is it still Trudeau? You know, like you're thinking in your mind, you're guessing all these things. Like, is it right? Is Trudeau still prime minister? He's so lost. So it's like, you know, lift your left arm, lift your right arm, lift your left leg and praise God, you know, from the surgery I was able to do everything. I was able to answer everything. And then later, the neurosurgeon comes in to talk with me and he's a neurosurgeon. So these guys, you can imagine what specialists are like and what a neurosurgeon might be like. He's obviously a brilliant human being who's been in school forever and he does brain surgeries every day. He comes in and he's like a kid on Christmas. He's like, Robin, we got the whole thing. He's like, you won't believe it. When we opened up your skull, the tumor literally shot out of your head. It popped out of your head. Nothing was left behind. And he was like floored. And this is a man who does brain surgeries for a living. And he was so excited. And he was just like buzzing. He's like, Robin, he's like, you're going to go home today. And I'm like, what? Like this day of my soul. Oh, recover. He was so excited. He's like, Robin, we got the whole thing. He's like, we're still going to have to do a biopsy to test if it's cancerous. But he's like looking at it. I don't think it's cancerous, but we're going to have to do the biopsy. Praise God. You know, later I'm discharged from the hospital. I get to go home and start the recovery process. And then a few weeks later, they do call me to say it's not cancer.
Wow.
Right. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Was non-cancerous, very, very large meningioma, which is a brain tumor.
Wow. Wow. How has this, I'm just blown away. Like, this is such an incredible testimony of God's like protection on your life. And, how has this taught you, what has this taught you about God's character?
Oh, after this surgery, I just kept telling people, I'm like, God is good. God is good. You know, I think as Christians, as churchy people, we're like, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. But I was like, I felt his goodness in a way I had never felt before, where I was just like, wow, God, you are so good. And let me tell you a practical way I felt his goodness. So we're praying that it's not going to be cancer. We're praying the surgery is going to go well. You know, that's the important thing at this point. Like I have a baby at home. Like I have two little kids. I have ministry. Like, is this the end of my life? Like what's happening? God in his goodness. So the day of my surgery, they tell me, you know, we're going to shave the whole right side of your head. You know, they're going to shave it. And that way they can get in and open your skull and get the tumor out. So, you know, part of me was like joking. I'm like, okay, wasn't planning on getting a buzz cut in 2022. But like, if that's what has to happen to get this thing out of my head, sure. So I wake up from the surgery and I can feel something on my forehead. And, you know, of course, I didn't have like a phone or I didn't have a mirror. I didn't have anything. But later on, I realized that there was like hair across my forehead. So later on, a nurse comes and they're changing my head bandage. So I had this bandage all over my head. It was a huge incision, like from here all the way around my ear. There was 51 staples in my head. So it's
For those that are listening and not watching us, it's like from the front of your forehead to the back of your ear.
Yeah, exactly. It basically like a C, like a backwards C all the way around here. So I wake up and they're changing the bandaging on my forehead and on my head. And then I realize that there's a braid across my forehead, you know, and I'm picturing like, why do I have this like boho style of like a braid across my forehead? And the, you know, the nurse is taking the head bandage off and he's like, this is so weird. This is so weird. And I'm like, what's weird? Like, I just had a brain surgery. Like, what's weird about my head? Like, please tell me, don't scare me. And he's like, they kept so much of your hair. He's like, normally they would have removed so much more of your hair. I'm like, yeah, no, they told me they were going to buzz half of my head. And he goes, no, they didn't do that. So then when I'm meeting with the same neurosurgeon, the one who's so excited that the tumor popped out of my head, and he goes, Robin, I'm the one who braided your hair. So I realize that what they did was they took part of my hair, they braided it and pulled it aside. And then they just buzzed like that C shape. They just buzzed there.
Why?
And he maintained the rest of my hair. And I was thinking, you know, gender bias. I'm like, there was probably a lovely little nurse who braided my hair and who was trying to keep my hair. But my neurosurgeon stopped, like prolonged the time he's in surgery with me so he could pause to braid my hair. And in that moment, I felt so much of God's goodness because I'm like,
aww.
It's just hair. The important thing was getting the tumor out, but God was gracious enough so that I wouldn't have to have a buzz cut. So the way that they did it, I could, you know, for the first few years after my surgery, I would just kind of part my hair over and I could cover. And that way people weren't always seeing this massive incision on my head. It was just, to me, God going above and beyond. Like, he didn't have to do that. Like, God did not have to preserve my hair. He was preserving my life. He was taking this tumor out. But I'm like, that kindness of God to be like, no, I'm going to let you still have hair and not have to, like, amidst everything else, have to process your hair. I'm like, God is so good. God, the God that we serve, he really is so much better than we think. We downplay his goodness.